Praise God. We appreciate so very much, Brother and Sister Davey, being with us this week, and the ministry here and their testimony and the great work that they're doing in Tampa. And we're just so glad that they're lifting up the banner, and we want to see revival in Birmingham. We're hungry for revival in Birmingham. And we want to see people from every neighborhood filled with the Holy Ghost. People from every part of this city converge to a place of gathering around the fire of God. And it's happening right now. It's happening. And we want Brother Davey to come and just share the burden of his heart tonight. I've just asked him. I've given him completely open license. And the last two nights, he's just dealing with us as a pastor. He is. And we appreciate it. Preach to us, preacher.
All right, praise God. Thank you so very much. Thank you so very much. God bless you. Please be seated. Well, we were excited to be here again tonight. It's been a thrill for me to be here with you. And God has been so kind, and this church has been quite hospitable to us. Thank Brother Sutton, Sister Sutton, for their burden and their love and their work in this city. And thanks for that wonderful fruit basket. And we're absolutely thrilled to be here, my wife and I. And as Brother Sutton says, that she is really the one that does all the traveling. She make that up for me. And really, she does a lot in our church, not the least of which is to anchor everything that goes into prayer and to undergird that work with a steadfast prayer and burden. You will not build an apostolic church if there is not, first of all, prayer and dedication. That is one of the first things that has to be set. And she has done a tremendous job. We've got a large prayer force there. Didn't start like that, obviously, but it grew. And when people get the burden and the knowledge that prayer is to be highlighted in any church, then people will get into that. There are many, many portions of God's word where our Lord is seen praying. And that is really a directive for us to know that prayer has got to precede anything that is called revival. There is not a church that is going to have revival if you're not totally given to a culture of prayer. That has to pervade the entire church, and that has to be a hallmark of what an apostolic church is all about. And first of all, we know that it is not what we can do, but is what we allow God to do through us. And so when we pray, then we are putting ourselves so that God can use us. And he will use us to the extent that we allow him to. So we're very thankful for all that Sister Davey does. And I'm glad to have her here with me tonight. And thank God for the three young men who are with us also. And thank God that they journeyed here. I was told that several of our saints back in Tampa had watched the service last night live, and then on Wednesday night they had watched it on a delayed basis, and we're glad for them. I guess they may be even watching tonight. We say God bless you, and amen. We love all of you, and we know that God will always bless you. Amen. And I am thankful this church has a spirit to it, spirit of revival and worship. You're never going to have revival if you don't know how to worship. Hallelujah. You're going to have to know how to worship. And this church has that. That has that. The underlying ingredients that will, amen, allow a church to grow. Amen. I can tell you much about our church in Tampa. And as we go, I'll mention some of the things that has taken place amongst us. And we're not saying anything to boast, because all of it goes to the glory of God. And the prophet was told, it is not by might, neither is it by power, but it is by my spirit, said the Lord. And so we know that everything that we are, we have to attribute it to the loving kindness of a tender and merciful God. And so we commend you for the spirit that is here, and for your dedication and your love of God to even be out here on a Friday night. And they used to say that Friday night was the devil's night, but we had taken that back over, and we said now Friday night is the saints' night. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so when we are in the house of God, there's many things that can happen. Once the people of God are in the house, there's no telling what the Lord, amen, will do. I'm going to draw your attention to the word of the Lord in the book of Deuteronomy. I'm going to change gears tonight just a little bit. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 34. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea, which is the Mediterranean Sea on the west, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. And my subject tonight is simply God's plan for your life. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your loving kindness, and we thank you, Lord, for all that you are. We thank you for your providence, and we thank you for your keeping care even from our early existence in life. We thank you for this wonderful church and this pastor and his wife and family, and we thank you for all the saints that labor together with them. I pray your hand would always be here, and that your eyes would always be open to this place, and your ears will be open to the prayer that is prayed from this place, and that you will maintain their cause, and that you'd help them, you would make ways for them, and you'd open doors, and you'll chart the course that would lead them to a great revival church. And that, Lord, you would help them, oh God, to know that it is not by might nor is it by power, but it is by your spirit. We thank you, Lord. You've been our help in ages past, and we know you will be that in the years to come. We thank you for your eternal words. The psalmist said, it is the entrance of thy word that gives light. I pray that your word would enter into our hearts tonight and give us some light, oh God, and that you'd bless us, oh Lord, and that you'll strengthen us. I take authority over every atmosphere that might be here, chaining every devil, Lord, and releasing the power of revelation and the power of liberty in just your spirit, that God, what we hear tonight would bless us and would encourage us and would enlarge our borders, that, Lord, you would help us to inherit that which you have purposed for our lives. Hear from heaven, touch the lips of clay, and make us a blessing together, we pray, and all the people said amen. God bless you. And you may be seated. Israel's journey is really a type of the Christian's walk. And you will see that in many places, many of the things that Israel encountered, we will encounter that in some measure. They had left the old life in Egypt and had headed to a new life in Canaan. It was to be their inheritance. At least 20 times in the Word of God, this land is described as a land flowing with milk and honey, denoting the abundance and the sweetness of God's blessing. And after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, Moses is now given a bird's eye view of that long promised land as he went up onto Mount Nebo. And eventually we'll find that Joshua took them into that place of inheritance and caused them to inherit it tribe by tribe. In our life, we will go through the same kinds of challenges, and that those challenges, if we would examine here, it would prepare us. It really would prepare us for some of the things that we will encounter. Challenges are not designed to discourage us, but rather to lift our faith in the author and the finisher of our faith. And so tonight, by the help of God, I would like to highlight three things that we should consider on our journey. Number one, we should consider the possibilities. We need to consider the possibilities. Let us notice that this 120-year-old lawgiver, this man Moses, as he scans the landscape from north to south, where he was, when he looked over that land, he was looking at possibilities. He was looking at things that could be. All that we are going to be, everything that we are destined to have, God already has that in place for us. And we're looking at possibilities. The only thing that would stop them, the only thing that would prevent them, was due to any failure on their part. The failure was never on God's part. Everything that God has put in our way and has destined for us, all of that hinges on how we react to it. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, For all the promises of God in him are yea and amen. And so there is never a failure in God's part. There is never a failure, amen, on God's, what God is can do. But everything that we don't gain or anything that we don't reach or any place we do not apprehend is strictly what we won't do. Whatever God has purposed for us, he has the ability, he has the power, he has the knowledge, he is more than capable to bring us through. And so everything that God has for your life, everything that he has purposed for your life, hinges on how you react to it. There are great possibilities. And so what would we do with the possibilities of Nebo? What would we do as he scanned that horizon? It's been over 400 years after God had made that promise to Abraham that he stands now. And so what would they do with that? Moses was scanning that, but that was also for Israel. For every one of us then, life's possibilities are like Nebo. It is in front of us, both naturally and spiritually. And so what will we do with it? It is always up to us. Everything that we are going to be, once God has laid out for us, if we would grab hold of it, if we would embrace it, if we would put it in our hearts that God said, this is mine. And then if you will make up your mind, then God has all of that ability to give it to us. We need to start to dream. We need to look at Nebo and we need to dream. And dream big. Don't dream small. Taking and making full use of all of those possibilities that we see before will be a challenge. There's no doubt about it. It will be a challenge. But it is a land that is flowing with milk and honey.
Amen. So how bad do you want it? God has some possibilities for your life. How bad do you want it? What would you do with Nebo? What are you going to do with the possibilities that God has before you? What do you want to accomplish? God has a plan for every one of you. Every one of us that come into the house of God, God has a plan for your life. And it is only going to be apprehended. It is only going to be reached. It is only going to be attained based on what is in your heart. Because in God, all the promises are yea and amen. So there's possibilities. And we need to get a hold of that. We need to know that we're not paupers. We need to know that we're not just orphans. But God has a plan. The apostle says that it was purposed in Christ before the world began. It was not just an accident. God has a plan, and it was finished before Calvary. God has a plan for your life, for my life. All we need to do is to get into it and walk in it. It's not going to be just a cakewalk. It's going to be challenging, but God is able to help us, and God is able to give us all that we see, whatever, as far as the eyes can see, as far as your heart can imagine. The Bible says he's able to do more abundantly than we are able to ask or think. So there are possibilities. All we need to do is to grab a hold of it. Number two, we should develop a plan. We need to develop a plan. Too often we fail because we did not have a plan. We need a plan. If you don't have a plan, then friend, you are planning to fail. You will see that Joshua, when he went into Canaan, he had a plan. He went south, then he came back north. And he went and he took everything that was in his sight. He just went through, believed that God had called him, believed that that was theirs, and he went through conquer and possessing. Conquer and possess. Conquer and possess. He depossessed all of those people that were there before, because God said, that's your land. You have to first of all embrace what God told you. You don't need to doubt what God tells you. That's yours, then that is yours. The devil may have said that's not yours, but you need to look the devil in the face and tell him now that God has given that to me. And so he needs to simply vacate. You need to evict the devil. You need to get him out of that place. If that is your promise, if God has said that's yours, then you need to let the devil know he has had it long enough and he needs to give it up. Amen. Praise God. You need to get this in your spirit. So all of us need to develop a plan. You need a plan for your life. First of all, you may have a short-term plan for your life in a natural sense, maybe a 1 or 5 year plan. And we're going to talk some practical things tonight. You may need a 1 to 5 year plan, and that's a short-term plan. And then you develop a more long-term plan, maybe a 10 to 20 year plan. But you need to develop a plan, and then you need to stick with it. You don't need to be changing that plan every month. You need to have a plan. Develop a sound plan and then stick with it. I'm surprised sometimes I get well-meaning saint of God, and we talk about various things that they would want to do and so forth, and then all of a sudden within a month they change their plan. Right. Now you simply cannot be effective by changing your plan every month. It just won't work. Right. You need to have a plan, and this is also true. That self-motivation is the key to achieving your goals. You've got to be a self-starter. You can't wait for somebody to come wake you up. You can't wait for somebody to get you going. There is possibility. God has laid before you possibility. We live in probably the greatest country on earth. There are possibilities in front of you. You've got to apprehend it. You're not going to be laying up in bed until 12 noon and do anything. You need to get a plan, and you need to work that plan. And you need to work it. You need to work that plan. You need to work it consistently. You need to work it tirelessly. You need to work it excitedly, and you need to work it passionately. You got to get a plan. Don't you start blaming people on your failure. Don't you start blaming your mom and dad. Well, I came from this one. Well, I came from over here. Well, no. Your future does not hinge on where you came from. Your future hinges on you and God. That's it. So you need to plan. Go to school. Young people need to go to school. And when you finish high school, don't even feel that's anywhere. High school is just a start. That's where you're starting. That's the bottom line. That's where you start from there. When we first went to Tampa, had to get our folk to change that mindset and get into the mindset I'm trying to get them at. That when you finish high school, friend, that is just a start. And so you need to at least get your undergrad, and from there, if you want to do some advanced degree, that's all good. You get that education, and you need that. And of course, once you get educated, and then you get over it. You don't feel like you have arrived any. You are just trying to be functional. You're trying to be functional in this world, but you need it is hard work. It's hard work. It's consistent work. I've gone through university myself. It's hard work. You have to get up. There's time you don't really want to get up, but you have to get up. You have a lecture at 8 o'clock in the morning. You need to roll out of bed and hit that. You need to hit that place. And you need to be self-motivated, self-starter. You need to start yourself. You don't need anybody to wake you up. You need to start yourself. And so after you finish your degree, you may want to maybe work for a couple years or so, and then you may want to start your own business. But you need a plan. There's some people want to start a business and you have no business acumen. You don't know how to run a business. And so if you start trying to run a business and you don't have the wherewithals to run a business, that business is going to fail. So you need a plan. You need to get into some place, get some instruction, get some experience, know what the ins and outs are, know what this is and so forth. And then once you have that plan, you are going to work that plan. Amen. And when you do that, you have to understand that God will help you. God will strengthen you. God will open doors for you. God will make you a blessing. We are his people, and we are the sheep of his pasture. God will help you. Amen. Our success is not based on man. The Bible says promotion doesn't come from the east or the west, but God is the judge. And so when you start to work that plan and you get God involved, then you're going to be successful. You are going to be blessed. Now, any plan is going to encounter some difficulties, but don't quit. Amen. You don't give up. Amen. When Israel came out of Egypt, amen, one of the first things that confronted them was Jericho. But God gave them a plan. Now, the plan didn't look very good from a standpoint of military strategy. Here they were going around the wall. And that devil is probably thinking now, what are they trying to do? Are they trying to do some type of calisthenics? What are they doing? But they're going around. They had a plan. God has a plan. And so they went around that wall 6 days. And somebody from that wall probably looking at them and said, my goodness, I mean, these people are just plumb crazy. And on the seventh day, they went around 7 times. And all of a sudden they blew and they shouted, and here comes the wall down. So it is not what you can do, but it's what God will do. When you have a plan, when you stick with the plan, when you're consistent with that plan, when you're tireless with that plan, God will help you to be successful. And so get a plan. Plan that work. And you work that plan and God will help you. Then you will see that Israel, they encountered at one point, they encountered what they call bitter water. They came to Marah in the book of Exodus in chapter number 15. they came to a place. And it wasn't very long after they left Egypt. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 22, we read these words. It says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. So now life have some bitter waters. It has bitter waters, but we're still God's people. We're still on a plan. We're still on a journey. We're still on a course. So your life will encounter bitter waters. There are times that you will encounter setback. There's time you may have reverses in your life. But that's not a signal to give up. That's not a signal to quit. That's not a signal to get discouraged. Recognize that the rain falls on the just as also on the unjust. Recognize that just because you encounter the waters of Marah, it doesn't mean that God has forgotten you. It doesn't mean that God has given up on the plan. No, you need to be encouraged. You need to understand that life is like that. You will encounter the bitter waters of Marah, but God is able to sweeten life. If you will hang in there, if you will trust God, if you will know that God is able, if you will know that God is on your side, if you will recognize that if he's more, is more what is in you. Amen. The Bible said what is in us is more than the world that is against us. What God has for your life, he's not going to bring difficulties to kill you. He will not give you anything more than you're able to bear. But you need to understand that God is going to put you through some things to build character in you. God can't build character just feeding you ice cream in life. He's got to put you something. He's got to let you come to some bitter waters at Marah. But he is building something in you. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't get disheartened. God will show, as he did, he showed him and said, there is a tree there, get it, put it in that water, and all of a sudden, sweet water. God is able. But he's not just going to lead you by the way. You're just going to be drinking lemonade and kicking back. No, friend, get a plan. Get that plan right, and God will help you through it. You will encounter some things. You will encounter difficulties, but recognize that God is still there. It is only just a short time from there. Verse 27, and they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. So just a short distance from Marah was Elim. And Elim, there was much water. And palm trees, that is like prosperity. That is peace. That is tranquility. So God, in as much as he will take you to some bitter waters, but he will always have some palm trees for you. He will always have some wells of water. And the Bible said, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Recognize that if God be for you, recognize that if God is on your side, recognize that if you are his son and you are his daughter, God will always look after you. Amen. So trust God. Hallelujah. Be encouraged. God will always have an Elim for you. I want you to note carefully. There, I came across this word. The first time I saw it, I was really surprised. In the book of Numbers chapter 21 and verse number 4. Numbers chapter 21 and verse number 4. The Bible said they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. When you look in the book of Acts, you will see that the people of God are described those of the way. Those of that way. The people that were in that way. We are, that's who we are. We're the people of the way. But they were discouraged because of the way. Realize that as you journey, the way of the apostolic is not always just rosy. But you should not become discouraged because of the way. Psalmist says, though he lead me through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm going to fear no evil. Being apostolic, friend, we are living in a foreign world. We're living in a foreign country. The Bible says we're pilgrims and strangers here. This is not our normal territory. Our city is in heaven. The Bible says here we have no continuing city, but we look for one to come. We're in a foreign country. We're in a foreign place. We become discouraged because of the way, but recognize that God is on your side. You've got to know that God is on your side. You've got to know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You've got to know that God is there with you. I mean, you may see some hard times. The way may become discouraged, but get a hold of God. Get a hold of the horns of the altar and said, God, you've called me out of Egypt. You have given to me a place and an inheritance, and I'm going to grab a hold of it. Don't get discouraged. Number three, be careful that you don't get the same mindset as those 10 spies. Those 10 spies, friend, they are a curse. Those 10 spies, and if you really will allow me to say this, that after it was all said and done, we can't name those 10 spies. But we do remember Caleb and Joshua. And so the mindset of these spies here were something that we got to be aware of. Book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 13 and verse 26. It says this, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it flows with milk and honey. There's that word again. That's phrased there. And this is the fruit of it. So they demonstrated. Here's those grapes. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land at the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the north, in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Verse 31. But when the men went up with him, said, we be not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report, and the land of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is the land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it were men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now, here is something. There are times that if you're not careful, you'll get a warped vision, a warped sense of who you are. If you're not careful, that devil will talk you out of your blessing. If you're not careful, people will say things that you will get discouraged. That's why I don't hang around with negative people. If you're negative, then you're not my friend. I don't hang with you. You need to be positive. You need to say, God is going to help us. You need to say, God is going to bring us through. You need to tell me that God is going to make a way. He is a way maker. Songwriter said, Jesus, he's a way maker. He made a way in the wilderness. You need to recognize that God will do these things. You need to lay it out in your mind that God is going to help you. I mean, I could tell you stories. Amen. As when we started in the city of Tampa, some of the things that would come against us. I remember when we first started, just initially, and just a few months into building that work. And we started initially on the campus of the University of South Florida, and then we moved off. We had a We had a little place that we had rented, and we were there. We were all excited because on the campus we were given rooms, and every service was a different room. Every service was in a different building, and so we just couldn't settle down. And people would come and visit. They said, well, we came to that campus, but we couldn't find where you were. And so we kind of get frustrated, and we were there for about 3 months, and then eventually we got a little place that they used to have as a nursery, and we were comfortable in there. We were having service. By this time, we were about 35. This is about 4 months after we started. So about 35 people in that little place. And we were excited enough because now we had at least a permanent home, that we thought so. And I think they were charging us about $400 a month. But all of a sudden, I don't know what got in that devil and what got in that owner that had that place, but they gave us 2 weeks to leave. They say we need this building. And so we were thrown out. Now, if you feel like you could take this thing, you could say, well, God, if you brought me here, why are you putting us through this thing? Just a few months into this new church, and here we were without a building. There was a Presbyterian group just to the east of that, and they were so kind to allow us to come in and to use their facility. And they had a morning service, and so we would go in there about 1 o'clock, and we would have service. But, of course, Tampa is really not really conducive to having afternoon service. So we'd go in and we'd start our service probably 1:30, 2 o'clock, and we did that for a little while. And after that, we started to look for another building. We needed a building. We needed someplace. We just couldn't take that 2 o'clock service. It just was not working for us. And we searched that place. I mean, probably every street. We went everywhere. We looked at buildings. We and, of course, we were constrained because of cost. We simply didn't. We just maybe about 30, 35 people, and a lot of them were students. We just didn't have any money. And so we looked, and then we found weeks of searching, I would take one night, somebody else would take another night, somebody else would take another day, and we would scour that place, trying to find a place. And we finally saw this building. It was a standalone building. It used to be, we gathered afterward, it used to be a little carpet barn, and it was about 2,000 square feet. And we went in there, I mean, weeds had grown over. It was dilapidated. When we went inside, I mean, inside was worse than outside. And outside, I mean, outside was bad. But we went in there, and it took us about 3 months, and we moved some walls, and we relocated some things, and we did the ceiling, got it all nice, fixed up, and so forth. And actually here, I actually had a little office. Now, in this office, you could not just go in just normal. You could not just walk in. You had to turn one way just to get inside of this office. It was so small. But when we went in there, I mean, you had to kind of duck because there was stuff over your head. But at least we were moving up. Now, suppose we had said, well, God, I mean, here we are working so hard and you're not opening up a way, friend. That would have defeated God. But God is going to bless you. But there are some things you're going to have to go through. Realize if there are some giants there, that'll give you some opportunity to work on those giants. God, whatever God put in your path, understand that he has equipped you in order to go over and to possess that thing. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Don't quit. Realize that God is taking you through. But that's the way. That's the route. Just like Israel, that's how God is going to take us through. Amen to that promise. That is how God is going to cause us to inherit what he has purposed for us in our lives. Be careful of your perception, therefore. The Bible teaches us that God will not give us anything greater than we are able to bear. He will not lead us into any greater difficulty than we're able to overcome. So these spies says, well, we can't possess that land. He said there, they said there were giants there. Well, so what if there are giants? Don't we have a God that's bigger than giants? Don't we have a God that is able to overcome the giants? Amen. Those two men, Caleb and Joshua, said, let's go up and possess it right now. People of God, if you want to have a great church in Birmingham, you need to say, God, we want this place. We're going to take it right now. We may not have a great apostolic church right now, but amen, maybe you're right now you're 300, but you're not going to stay 300. You said there's a lot of denominational people in here. Well, there's always giants. There's always things here. But this is where God has put you. You need to get your heart filled with faith. Show me that place. I'm going to go right now. I'm going to teach that Bible study. I'm going to do this witness. I'm going to go here and invite somebody. That's how that works. Don't you be overwhelmed. Don't you be somehow intimidated because there's giants there. Be a giant killer. The more giants there are, the more ability and opportunity you have to prove that you're a giant killer. So don't let things overwhelm you and discourage you. Have that plan and work that plan and pray about that plan and say, God, give me the strength to do this thing. So you need to be careful that you do not develop that mentality of those spies. That's a temptation. What Israel went through are some of the same things that we're going to go through. Our life is going to mirror their walk. But don't you get bogged down with the giants and the wall city. When we read of this, when we read of their encounter, when they came to Kadesh Barnea, the Bible says, so we see that they could not enter in there, not because of the Anakins, not because of the wall cities, not because of these great giants, but the Bible in Hebrews, it says we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. That's what caused them not to have entered in the first place. Because of unbelief. We need to believe God. If God said that is our possession, then we need to believe that. We don't need to see it necessarily, but we need to believe God. Paul says, sirs, I believe God. We need to believe God. If God says this is where you're going to be, then you need to believe that. If God says you're going to build a church here, you need to believe that. Don't let people talk you out of your blessings. Don't let people come negative in what you're doing, friend. You need to understand that what God promised you, whatever God has for you, is not for your brother. It's not for the man at the other side of the pew. That is for you. That is God's purpose. That is his plan for your life. You need to believe it. You need to embrace it. You need to work. You need to go after it. You need to look as if you've got it. Hallelujah. You don't need to let somebody talk you out of it. I believe that we can do anything we set our minds to. Anything. You set your mind to doing something, God will give you the ability to do it. In the book of Genesis chapter 11, the Bible says God had to go down and stop those people because they were about ready to build a tower. And nothing can stop you. Nothing can stop you if you put your mind to it and are willing to work it. So you need to develop a spiritual walk of faith with God. You need to develop a spiritual walk. And understand that God will bless this church. I mean, I could tell you story after story how God brought us out. I mean, right now we are embarking, as I mentioned last night, to building a nice sanctuary. And I don't know if everybody would be able to go through some of the things that I've gone through, we've gone through for the last 4 years. But what I'm saying, wherever you are, you are going to face some challenges like that. It doesn't matter if you are in the way, if you are off the way, if you are walking in the way. This is how the way is. But don't let that way discourage you. But amen, when we look at Paul's resume, he says, now, if I will tell you what I went through, I was beaten with rod, I was stoned, I was shipwrecked, I have hunger, I have, did you know that he was a man of God? He had not backslid. He had not fallen into sin. But that's the way. That is part of the way. That is, we're off the way. It's not going to be a bed of roses. But you need to say, greater is he that is in me. Amen. I may be facing something now, but I know a God who is able. I may be going through something now, but I'm going to rejoice. So you have to develop develop a strategy. You have to develop a spiritual life. And David said this: enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. You need to say the Lord is good. You may have got fired on that job. You may have encountered something, but still say the Lord is good. When your feet hit Zion, enter in with praise. When your feet hit Zion, amen, come in with thanksgiving. Why? You're developing a walk with God. You're going to have difficulties. I know that when we look over the 4 years that we have been on embarking on trying to build this place, we have just had a time. But there is no time I'm going to say giving up. If the devil put a block here, if we can't pray it down, we said we'll go over here. If over here something else comes, well, God will direct us someplace. I'm not going to get discouraged. We're not going to give up, friend. And if you quit on God, it is not God's fault. I told the people, now you need to know something about God. If you quit, you will never be able to get God to come to your pity party. He will not cry with you. He is not going to sit up under your juniper tree. He will let you stay there, stew for a little while. When that prophet Elijah went into that cave, and he was running from Jezebel, and he says he went into that cave, and the Lord came and said, Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah said, well, you know, I've been jealous for the Lord. I've been doing all of this thing, and old Jesse is after me, trying to kill me. Amen. You know what the Lord told him? Get back to work. Just get back to work. Do this, do that, do that. God is never going to feel sorry for you. If you quit on God, he is never going to come to your pity party. He is simply going to tell you, when you, after you finish crying and all of that and feeling sorry for yourself, he is simply going to say, son, get back to work. He's going to tell you, get back to work. Get back on that job. You have a plan. Get back on that job. So sometimes what we need to do is to develop a spiritual walk with God and work hard. Work hard. Don't be lazy. I mean, one of the things that get me going, lazy people. If you're a lazy friend, you don't even want to be around me. It'll be miserable. You will be miserable if you're lazy. You need to be a go-getter. You need to work hard. Work hard. Don't tell me about the sad story. Somebody done you wrong song. That song there, we don't even sing that thing. Don't somebody done me wrong. People done me that, friend. Don't even go there. Don't even go there. We don't sing those songs. We don't even deal with those songs. And here's another song we don't deal with anymore. Now we fall down and now we get up. Now we fall. You probably all don't know that up in here. But they had a song. Now we fall down. Now we get up. That is meaning almost like you backslide, then you come back. Backslide, come. We don't do that. Here's what Jude said. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling. So once we're saved, we need to stay saved. Once we're saved, God has the ability to keep you. You need to develop a spiritual walk with God. Develop a spiritual life. Amen. Develop a prayer life. Get a hold of God. Get a hold of yourself. Know that God is able. We are dealing with a God that is able. He is a great God. He is a powerful God. And Paul said, all the promises of God in him are yea and amen. So hang tough. You, as people of God, we need to hang tough. Be tough. Work hard. You know, when we went, we had a contract on a 30-acre parcel of land. And we were real excited. We felt, well, you know, this is really what God is going to do. And so we started we get the engineer, we get an architect and so forth, start to develop that plan. We start to clear this land. This land had a lot of trees on it, a lot of shrubbery and so forth. They used to use it initially as a fish farm. And so we were all excited, 30 acres. And so it was kind of in a rural area. And so we had to have the roadway to support that size congregation. Now, usually, if your church is anything under 300, then you could use just about any type of roadway. If the church is going to be over 300, it had to be declared as an arterial roadway. And so that is a major thoroughfare. And so we thought, well, you know, they had a small airport there. And so we felt there was enough traffic there that they would give us the leeway and help us along and give us a variance. And so we put a lot of work in there. And so we had a hearing. We went before this hearing master, and we felt like we had covered all the bases. I took the engineer there and a couple other men, and we went to that meeting. And they had various people before us. And when our turn came, well, the engineer went up there. He put up a slide. He showed, here's what we're doing. Here's all of the things. That's how that the church is going to benefit that community. And then I went up, did a little presentation and so forth. And I felt everything was okay. And then all of a sudden, we had one lady. And she came to that microphone. We didn't know. We were blindsided because as far as we knew, we had covered all the bases. We felt we had done our homework. And she came to that podium. And she said, well, this is a rural community. We don't have any lights, and we don't want any lights. We don't have any sidewalks, and we don't want any sidewalks. Furthermore, we've got peacocks going across the street. We got cows going across the street. We have this going across the street, and we certainly don't want a church. And she went on and on and on, and there was just a sinking feeling as I sat there. I said, Lord, have mercy. I just didn't know what that hit us. And we said, and she went on and on. And I said, this is not good. This is really not good. And so we, you know, I was pretty much resigned to the fact that after hearing that presentation, and you could kind of feel the whole tenure of that kind of just permeate through the entire place. And I said, Lord, have mercy. We went out to talk to the engineer. So I said, well, no. And of course, as it turned out, they denied that. And so here we were, put all our stock in this piece of land. And here it was, the door just slammed shut. Boom, just like that. That was the end of that. But I said, well, we're going to go someplace else. God will open another door. You see, you simply cannot get frustrated. You simply should not give up. You shouldn't quit because God has a plan for your life. And he knew all about it before that. I mean, it's not taking God by any surprise. I mean, we were just very disappointed, but God had better plans, because just in a short time after, we found another place. And this place, friend, is right along a major thoroughfare, and it's about 26 acres. And there we were. God opened the door, and we just slid right in there. And after, when your waters are made sweet, you won't even remember the bitter waters. You just have to have a positive. You put a positive face on it, because our God is able. Our God is well able. And so if he closed the door over here, don't get disappointed. It's still the same God. He still knows everything. He'll open another door over here for you. God is God. And the God we serve is a great God. And so our church, I mean, I was telling Brother Sutton that initially our church, when I get up before that congregation and said, well, now, church, we need to raise $1,000. I mean, they would be blown away. How are we going to raise $1,000? When I told them what it was going to cost us, now millions of dollars, they said, Pastor, we can do that, man. We can do that. Why? Because our minds had grown. Their minds have grown. What you need to do is understand that God you serve, in as much as he sees where you are right now, but he sees bigger things. He sees greater things. What you have to do is grow your mind. The Bible said he will give you as much as you're able to ask or think. Don't think small. Understand that God has a plan for your life. As Moses viewed that promised land, as far as he could see, all the possibilities are there. I am telling this congregation that you can say, you can talk about 300, but you need to grow your mind. You need to say, God, in just a little while, we'll be running 1,000. And God will do that for you. But you've got to embrace it, and you've got to start working towards it. You've got to know that God is able to do that. He is more able to do that, and he is more willing
willing to do that friend more than you're able to ask or think. So think big. After you prayed that prayer, you need to get up from there, put some wheels onto that prayer, said we're going through this town. We are going to conquer this town. So develop a plan. And when your feet hit Zion, you may be 300 now, but look here. I'm going to start praising God because I know it's going to be 400 next year. We're going to run 500. Then it's going to be 600. Then it's going to be, God will do that. God will do that because God is faithful. So you need to work hard and you need to work diligent. Let me show you something about Isaac. I kind of alluded to about Isaac yesterday in the book of Genesis and chapter 26. Let me just read for you just a couple of verses. Genesis chapter 26, and I'm going to begin at verse number 12. And it says this. And this is talking about Isaac. That Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are said to be the root of Israel. They are what God used to really build that nation. Verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received. Now watch what it says. He received in the same year, not 20 years later, 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. Now, if the Lord has redeemed us by his blood, we're also his sons and daughters. Now, if Isaac could have sowed and received 100-fold, why could we not sow and receive 100-fold? We're just like Isaac. We're children of the promise. All of the promise of God are yea and amen. Everything we see about them, we can appropriate that to ourselves. We need to believe God. We need to trust God. We just not going to reach this world if everybody is broke. Lord have mercy. If everybody in the church is broke and the IRS are after us, now how are we going to build a church? If all of us are indebted to JCPenney or to Sears and we just don't have money, how are we going to build a church? We need money to build church. The Bible says that money answers to everything. So we need people in here who are receiving 100-fold. We need people in here who are receiving 1,000-fold. And the Bible said that God blessed him. Now watch verse 13. And the man waxed, or grew if you will. He waxed great. And now notice now, he went forward, not backward. And you need to go forward and grew until he became very great. Now we don't preach a prosperity ministry. We don't preach, you know, blab it and grab it and you know all of that nonsense. But there is in the word of God provisions for God to bless us. And we need to know that God wants us to prosper. He doesn't, I mean. There's not a great blessing in being poor. Now, you know, I mean, sometimes, you know, we just feel, well, we're poor, but we have God. Well, why can't we be rich and have God? I know everybody is silent on that. But I'm suggesting to this congregation, there is no problem being rich, just don't trust in it. No problem being rich. We ought to have some of the richest people in Christendom. It's not just charismatic ought to have people that has the wherewithal. We ought to have the people, the wherewithal, because we've got a great, we have a great opportunity to reach a lost and dying world. And we're just not going to do it just having just those George Washington in our pockets. We need something more than that. And so the Bible says that he grew and became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possession of herds and great stores of servant. And now notice the Philistines envied him. And so maybe on your job, people may envy you, but that shouldn't stop you. People may try to do a lot of things against you, but remember now God is on your side. When you read the
the rest of here, verse 15. For all the wells which his father's servant had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistine had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, come, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we are. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Jeor and dwelt there. 18, and Isaac dig again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistine had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servant dig in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Jared did strive with Isaac his herdmen. The water is ours, they said. And they called the name of the place Esek, because they strove. Verse 21, and they dig another well, and they strove for that also. And he called the name of the place Sitnah. And he removed from then and dug another well, and for that they did not strive. Now, what am I saying? I am saying that when you get ready to work your plan, you may encounter a lot of difficulty. But just move from that well. Go dig another well. If that enemy tried to stop it up, go dig another well. God is on your side. In the end, God will bless you. In the end, God will vindicate your faithfulness. And so you need to do it. You need to do it consistently. Dig that well. If they fill it with dirt, dig another well. Amen. Work consistently. Work tirelessly. Work excitedly. And also work, amen, passionately. Be excited. Know that God is going to help you. Know that God is going to strengthen you. Know that God is going to see you through. You may go through the valley of the shadow of death, but you're not going to live there. You're not going to make that a way of life. You're not going to dwell there. You're just passing through. Why? Because your daddy owns everything. Amen. He owns every cattle upon a thousand hills. He owns everything, and he will make a way for you. So be encouraged. Be strengthened. The Bible says, if God be for us, if God be for us, in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, he says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Realize if you are in the way, if you are off the way sometime is going to be tiresome. But he says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. In verse 28, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that we may be the firstborn of many among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. He said, what shall we say to these things if God be for us? What shall we say to all of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Why do we get discouraged sometimes? Why do we feel perplexed sometimes? Hope thou in God. David said, why art thou cast down, on my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? He says, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. He is the health of my countenance. He says elsewhere, he says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory, we need to lift up our heads. We need to lift up our eyes. We need to look and see the possibilities. Hallelujah. Look on the possibilities. Serve the possibilities. View the possibilities. And realize God has a plan for your life. That old songwriter says, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day, but still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise or fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer and my aim is higher ground. We need to be encouraged. We need to be strengthened. Know that God is on our side. I learned some of the things that we encountered in the city of Tampa. It didn't dissuade us. It didn't cause us to quit. It didn't let us say, well, God is not on our side again. We started out far, amen, by faith. And we're still moving on. And the songwriter says, we've come this far by faith, leaning on his arms, trusting in his holy word. And he's never failed us yet. So we need to move on. We need to move forward.
We need to go forward. As a church in Birmingham, don't you ever let anybody talk you out of your blessing. Don't you ever get discouraged. Amen. Teach that Bible study. If they quit on you, get another Bible study. If they could, get another Bible study. Hallelujah. It is God. God is interested in his work. And he's going to build a people through going through the way. Don't let the way discourage you. Get faith in your heart. God has brought me so far. God is going to take me through. God helped me over there, but God is going to help me here. David says, I slew that bear and that lion. You just show me that giant. I'll take him down. You need to get some faith in your heart. If God is on your side, Birmingham is yours. Amen. I told the saints in Tampa, eventually Tampa is going to be called the city of the apostolics. Oh, hallelujah. I said, you need to embrace it. You need to believe it. You need to walk in it. Glory to God. Realize that there are times you're going to be going through some things, but do not become discouraged because of the way. Let me read one more scripture, and I'm getting ready to quit. In the book of Genesis chapter 31. I'm going to begin, amen, probably from about verse 38. Jacob had gotten himself at Laban's house. And he went down there. And he was going to, initially, I mean, he was just hiding from his brother. But here he was, after many years, he had seen many things and he had decided to leave from Paddan Aram and to head back home. And the Bible says this, Laban caught up with him and they're having a conversation. And he says, in verse number 38, this 20 years have I been with thee. The ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young. The rams of thy flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of beasts I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was in the day the drought consumed me and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for your two daughters, 6 years for thy cattle. And thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Except the Lord God of my father, God of Abraham, the fear of Isaac, had been with me, surely thou hadst sent me now, you would have sent me away now empty. Realize that Jacob was now a rich man, but he had gone through some adversities. He said there were times I wasn't able to sleep. He said people stole from me. And he said I had to recompense Laban. I had to pay Laban. So realize, people of God, sometimes we see Jacob as a great man here, but understand that he had to go by the way. God had a plan for his life, but there is a way to it. You're not just going to walk in and just get something. You've got to deal with the way. And people of God, you have to understand, you're going to have to deal with the way. That's just how it is. But realize that God is in you. Realize that God is going to help you. Picture yourself at the end of your journey. Work accomplished. God's hand on you. God's blessings around you. And realize that God will always give you what is in your heart. There are great possibilities that God has given to you. Develop a plan. Work the plan. Don't let anybody frustrate you. Don't let anybody discourage you. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. Right now, we've got 26 acres of land, and we're getting ready to put up almost an $11 million project. 3,500 seed eventually. We're going to have a family life center. Then we're going to expand. People of God, I'm telling you, I'm not going to ever let the devil talk me out of my blessing. I'm not going to let him get me frustrated, because I believe greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. God has a plan for your life. And you need to get your heart filled with faith. You need God to fill your heart with faith. And when you come in the house of God, when you've prayed that prayer, embrace that dream, embrace that vision you've got for your life, go towards it. God will help you. Doors that have been closed, God will open those doors. People's face who were against you, God will turn them around. Because God has a plan for your life and God will take you through. Be strengthened. Be encouraged. Be steadfast. Be resolute. Amen. Be determined and press on. Don't you dwell in those low planes, but I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Amen. And still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Just tell him, yes, Birmingham, here we come. We are the apostolics and we're taking over the town. We're going to lock everything else down because God has given us a mandate for the city. So be strengthened. Hallelujah. You may be 300 now, but recognize God has a plan for this city. And you are that plan. Beloved, you need to get faith in your heart and be strengthened and realize that God, when you're standing on truth and you have embraced truth, God will open doors. Be strong and encourage this church family. Brother Sutton, you hang tough. When the way looks dark, hang and know that God is your light. And if you're hanging there, amen, David says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy. Let this church say joy. Let the church say joy. Let the church say joy. Joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. So be strengthened. Be encouraged because God has some possibility. Moses looked across from Mount Nebo. And he looked to the north, and then he looked to the south. He viewed the east, and then he viewed the west. And he said, Lord, this is good. This is a land flowing with milk and honey. That is what is before this church. Look at the possibility. Get some faith in your heart. There may be a lot of giants in the land, but become a giant killer. Said, I'm going to be a giant killer. David said, who is that uncircumcised Philistine? Just show him to me. I'm going to take him down. Hallelujah. So get your heart filled with faith and say, Birmingham, here we are. God bless you. God strengthen you. And God give you an inheritance among those that are sanctified. This is a great church family. Poised at 300. 300 is a place where you be your place. And you are ready to launch into the next level. And God will give it to you. Praise God. I said God will give it to you. You work consistently. Work tirelessly. Work excitedly. And work passionately. And God will give you. Heaven bless you. Great being here. I love you.
Praise God. Come down around this altar tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. For your life, for your family, for this church, God's got a plan. God's got a promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Right now, for everything that he's preached to you tonight, I want you to sing it with him. Yes. Yes. That's right. It's an amen. Just amen to everything that he said. That the Holy Ghost has spoken in this house tonight. Sing yes, hallelujah. Yes and amen, every promise of God. Yes. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah. Praise God. Now, I know it's after 9 o'clock, but it's Friday night. I can't express to you how important this meeting is for this church. Brother Davey and I haven't spent much time together. I've never listened to any of his material or read anything that he's written. I got a desk full of it right now. I'm about to. But if you know what an interface is, he has alluded to some things in the scripture that I've never read in a book and I've taught in this church. The sustaining power of God's presence in word to keep the manna in the holy place. And that sequence from the daily use and the Sabbath use. Three or four instances like that. And the Holy Ghost has told me this is an interface. Why do we touch the Rock Church in Sacramento? And why do we touch New Life Tabernacle in Tampa? What is that all about? It's about the fact that God has a plan for this church and for this city. When I met the board to come to Alabama, there were those that said, you can't come. There were pastors in this city that said, we don't want you to come. Somebody lift up your hand and say, but we're here. I had a man stand flat-footed in that storefront and say, this won't last a year. Ragtag a bunch in a storefront. But somebody lift your hand and say, we're here. We're still here. And I want to tell you something that grieves my heart. There has never been a sustained church of 300 in a United Pentecostal frame in the district of Alabama. But somebody shake your neighbor's hand and say, we're here. We're at 300. But I'll tell you this. It's not, this is just the beginning of what God has planned for this place. I'll tell you, there's never been an apostolic church here, sustained apostolic church of over 500. And there's never been a United Pentecostal church that touched 1,000. Somebody shake your neighbor and tell them, here we come. Tell them, here we come. Touch your neighbor and say, God's got a plan for you. My God, somebody say yes with this praise group. Yes, sing it. Yes. Yes to the plan. Yes to the anointing. Yes to the gift of God. Yes to the prophet. Yes to the word of God. Somebody say yes to what God has preached in this house. This is curious and interesting to me. With this week and these services, there hadn't been many of us here. You notice that? Turn to your neighbor and tell them, in the valley of dry bones, there was nobody there but the preacher.